In a world where CEOs make 670 times more than their median workers, and 70% of Americans believe the economic system is rigged against them, Zeynep Tan's The Case for Good Jobs arrives as both a challenge and a roadmap. What if the conventional wisdom that some jobs simply can't justify higher wages is fundamentally wrong? What if the path to business excellence isn't through minimizing labor costs, but through investing in frontline workers? This book has become required reading for forward-thinking business leaders, with Warren Buffett's business partner Charlie Munger calling its principles blindingly obvious once you see them in action. As labor shortages persist and customer expectations rise, Tan's research-backed approach offers a compelling alternative to the race-to-the-bottom mentality that has dominated American business for decades. The core argument of The Case for Good Jobs is that companies have a choice between two fundamentally different approaches to business: the bad job strategy, minimizing employee costs, accepting high turnover and poor execution, versus the good job strategy, investing in employees as drivers of profitability, creating virtuous cycles of low turnover and excellent execution. Most executives feel trapped offering poor wages and conditions, believing it's an economic necessity rather than a management choice. This mindset has created a crisis where 44% of American workers earn a median annual pay of just $17,950, with Black and Hispanic Americans disproportionately affected. The consequences extend beyond economics to public health, with declining life expectancy from deaths of despair and increasing labor unrest. The good job system combines four key operational choices with significant employee investment to create a virtuous cycle of high performance. 1. Focus and simplify. Maintain clarity about your customer value proposition and eliminate anything that doesn't add value. This means resisting complexity that burdens frontline workers. 2. Standardize and empower. Create standard procedures for routine tasks with worker input while empowering employees to make decisions that enhance customer satisfaction. 3. Cross-train. Teach employees multiple skills so they can adjust productively to fluctuations in customer traffic, maximizing productivity and fostering ownership. 4. Operate with slack. Staff with slightly more labor hours than the minimum required, ensuring employees can work without rushing, respond effectively during peak periods, and take time off without burdening colleagues. These operational choices must be combined with meaningful investment in people through higher wages, stable schedules, internal promotion, and strong performance management. Spain's largest supermarket chain, Mercadona, exemplifies this approach with remarkably low 3.4% turnover versus industry norms 15 times higher, and higher profitability than competitors despite offering both the lowest prices and excellent service. When PayPal's leadership discovered employees were using soup kitchens and facing financial emergencies despite receiving market-rate pay, they were stunned. Similarly, Aetna's CEO Mark Bertolini was shocked to find his lowest-paid workers, mostly women and single mothers, using food stamps and Medicaid despite working full-time. Most companies reflexively rely on market wages as best practice, with three-quarters regularly surveying competitors' pay rates. But this approach becomes problematic when benchmarking against industries where mediocrity is standard. Even at $15 an hour, a wage supported by two-thirds of Americans, a full-time worker in Cleveland falls below the living wage of $1,760 for a two-parent household with one child, and far below the $29.66 needed by single parents. Low pay creates a two-pronged problem: inadequate hourly wages and insufficient, inconsistent hours. Working 40 hours weekly at $15 an hour yields $2,580 monthly, $1,589 less than basic expenses, forcing millions of working Americans to rely on government assistance programs costing taxpayers over $100 billion annually. Beyond the moral implications, inadequate pay directly undermines business performance. Financial stress creates a bandwidth tax, equivalent to losing 13 IQ points as workers constantly juggle expenses. This cognitive burden makes it difficult to focus at work, directly undermining performance. studies show financially insecure certified nursing aides are less likely to notice patient safety threats, truck drivers have higher accident rates, and workers with more cash on hand make fewer errors. Low pay inevitably leads to high turnover, creating a vicious cycle that prevents companies from building the capable workforce needed for operational excellence. When executives boast about high employee pride while experiencing turnover rates above 50%, they're missing the fundamental disconnect between survey responses and reality. The operational vicious cycle of poor execution manifests in pricing errors, long checkout lines, and messy shelves, problems far more pervasive than top management typically realizes. Companies underinvest in people because they view employees as just another cost to minimize, especially in low-margin businesses. When financial pressure hits, reducing headcount becomes the first resort rather than the last. Home Depot under Bob Nardelli exemplifies this trap. Despite being known for outstanding service, Nardelli created a culture of cost-cutting, reducing full-timers and dropping average employees per store from 200 to 170. While profitability improved immediately, the long-term damage was severe. As co-founder Arthur Blank observed, it reduced sales, so they reduced labor some more. Before you know it, you're doing a fraction of the business. Beyond operational problems, turnover's direct costs, hiring, onboarding, training, and productivity ramp-up are staggering. At Aetna, voluntary turnover cost $27 million annually, more than double what raising minimum wage from $12 to $16 would cost. One financial services call center experienced 40% turnover, with direct costs reaching 45% of total payroll. The indirect costs are even higher. When Aetna's Mark Bertolini challenged his HR team to calculate the full impact of turnover, they discovered the direct voluntary turnover costs of $27 million were dwarfed by indirect costs, absenteeism, rework, overtime, mistakes, and poor customer service, bringing the total to $120 million annually. Against this figure, the $10.5 million investment to raise base pay to $16 per hour seemed minimal. Companies can transition from vicious cycles to virtuous ones, as Quest Diagnostics demonstrated. By implementing the four key operational choices alongside wage increases and clear career paths, they reduced turnover by over 50%, decreased absenteeism by 12.4%, improved call metrics, and saved $2 million annually despite the investment in people. Companies trapped in vicious cycles develop five critical disabilities that prevent them from executing even basic operations effectively. 1. You can't hire the right people or train them well. With low pay attracting few applicants and high turnover creating constant urgency, managers take almost anyone available and can't properly invest in their development. Even capable, motivated new hires aren't set up for success, with poor orientation, glitchy computer training, and haphazard on-the-job instruction. 2. You can't empower employees. With poorly hired and trained employees making frequent mistakes, management's counterproductive response is to implement more controls and remove decision-making from frontline staff. This creates another vicious cycle where employees lose trust in management, sometimes disregarding rules they see as foolish, which reinforces management's belief that employees need more controls. 3. You can't match labor supply with demand. Companies trapped in vicious cycles respond to performance pressure by cutting labor costs while simultaneously trying to boost sales through adding products or services, a dangerous combination. This creates another vicious loop. Poor performance leads to efforts to increase sales by adding complexity, which increases workloads while running lean, leading to turnover and understaffing, driving more mistakes and customer service problems. 4. You can't have strong managers. Unit managers running individual locations are arguably a multi-unit organization's most critical employees, with experienced managers consistently outperforming less experienced ones. Mediocre companies can't retain and develop strong managers, with many organizations experiencing unit manager turnover above 30% and department manager turnover above 50%. 5. You can't have high expectations. When operations are designed for frontline employee productivity, empowerment, and customer focus, companies and workers can maintain high mutual expectations. In mediocre companies, expectations are dismally low. With unstable staffing and poor hiring and training, low performers are often tolerated simply because replacing them creates more work. These disabilities make companies fundamentally less competitive in two critical ways. They can't differentiate themselves to customers and employees, and they can't adapt to changes. Many executives admit their customers couldn't distinguish them from competitors, with one bluntly stating their design principle is to disappoint customers. Despite evidence that investing in people creates business value, many leaders resist this approach due to fear, doubt, and lack of imagination. They've been conditioned to see labor as a cost to minimize, believing lean and mean drives efficiency. When confronted with companies that pay better wages, they dismiss them as exceptions. Companies often analyze changes like pay raises in isolation rather than as part of a system transformation. When one company's analytics team estimated minimal benefits from a wage increase, they were examining a small pay raise implemented without other systemic changes. Executives commonly claim, "We've increased staffing levels and lost money," or "We've empowered people and lost money," because they've made isolated changes while leaving their mediocre system largely intact. Many leaders simply don't view frontline work as critical to performance. This extends beyond manufacturing to service industries where transaction volume trumps quality. Companies focus on acquisitions and marketing while neglecting core operations. Frontline managers plead, "HQ, please come and see the work we do. You can look at numbers all day long, but you have to see it to understand it." Many leaders don't trust frontline employees, assuming they're unskilled and unmotivated, what Douglas McGregor called Theory X thinking. These managers believe workers are unreliable, lazy, and work only for money, while Theory Y managers assume employees work hard, seek responsibility, and find meaning in their work. McGregor's powerful insight was that whatever managers assume about people becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They create systems that promote the behavior they expect. Changing deeply held beliefs about workers is perhaps the greatest challenge in moving toward good jobs. Leaders like Michael Fisher, CEO of Cincinnati Children's Hospital, raised minimum wages to $15 for 3,000 support staff because he recognized their critical importance. If your child is in one of our intensive care units, you want that person to know what they are doing, to be skilled and compassionate every bit as much as the doctor. Leaders who've successfully adopted good job systems think fundamentally differently about business. They see their primary fiduciary duty as being to customers rather than short-term financials, making high turnover and deprioritized frontline work unacceptable. Jim Sinegal, Costco's co-founder and CEO from 1983 to 2012, exemplifies leadership pursuing excellence. Despite his success, Sinegal maintained extraordinary humility, working from a tiny office, answering his own phone, taking a modest salary compared to CEO peers, and spending 200 days yearly visiting frontline operations, which he considered where the most important work gets done. Under his leadership, Costco grew revenues at 12% compounded annually from 1985 to 2022, with profits growing at 13% and stock price at 17%, significantly outperforming the S&P 500's 9.3% growth during the same period. Costco has offered industry-leading compensation from its beginning. In 2021, its median hourly wage exceeded $25, 80% higher than the retail industry median of $13.79. Nearly 90% of employees were eligible for health benefits with 97% enrollment. The company provides stable schedules with consistent hours and fills management positions almost exclusively from within, creating true career paths rather than just jobs. This investment yields remarkable stability. Average employee tenure was 9 years in 2021, with 60% of employees having 5 or more years of service and turnover of just 6% for employees with at least 1 year of service. Sinegal sees this approach not as altruism, but obvious business sense. 70 cents of every dollar we spend to run our company goes to people. If you don't do that well, you are going to screw up your company pretty badly. Companies that truly focus on customers demonstrate remarkable discipline in maintaining their core principles. Costco won't carry products unless we can save customers money, even when spreadsheets suggest otherwise. The company strictly enforces markup limits, 14% on branded items, 15% on Kirkland products, and will lower prices when costs decrease, rather than pocket the difference. Leaders pursuing excellence prioritize sustainable quality over rapid expansion. Jim Sinegal emphasized, "We never set out to be the biggest retailer. We set out to be the best retailer." While Wall Street analysts pushed for faster store openings, Costco determined growth rate by manager availability, not capital. The first essential ingredient for successful adoption of the Good Job system is aligning the organization, especially upstream functions affecting frontline work, to prioritize system change. Without sufficient urgency, even companies that see the potential benefits won't make progress. This alignment must cascade from senior leadership through middle management to frontline supervisors, as resistance at any level can derail implementation. A powerful way to make people uncomfortable with the status quo is showing them their actual performance compared to their self-perception. Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center experienced this when data revealed their cystic fibrosis care ranked in the 20th percentile nationally, shocking clinicians who believed they were among the best. This revelation sparked immediate action and led to comprehensive reforms in their care protocols. Similar wake-up calls have transformed other organizations, like a retail chain that discovered its customer satisfaction scores were in the bottom quartile despite management's belief they were industry leaders. When examining your own organization, collect data on customer satisfaction, operational execution, and employee metrics. Then benchmark against the best in your industry, not just the average. While companies typically have established metrics for customer satisfaction and operations, employee data requires deeper examination. Start with turnover and tenure, comparing not to industry averages, but to exemplary companies, like Quick Trip's 20% turnover versus the convenience store industry's 80% average. Other critical metrics include employee engagement scores, internal promotion rates, and the percentage of employees earning living wages. Track these metrics by location, department, and demographic groups to identify systemic issues. When ethical concerns about unlivable wages or patient safety aren't sufficient motivators, connect troublesome data to competitive threats. Ask challenging questions. What happens when competitors execute better and offer lower prices or superior service? What happens when workers gain other options and won't tolerate poor conditions? Consider the real costs of high turnover, including recruitment, training, lost productivity, and diminished customer experience. Calculate the full financial impact of the status quo, including hidden costs like excessive overtime, quality issues, and missed growth opportunities. When examining your Good Job's journey around winning with customers, brings three key benefits. It helps clarify your value proposition, encourages systems thinking, and helps align people upstream who drive the work. By focusing on delivering exceptional customer experiences, companies can make strategic trade-offs that strengthen their core value proposition rather than trying to be everything to everyone. This customer-centric approach also helps identify which investments in employees will have the greatest impact on business outcomes. For example, a grocery chain found that increasing training and wages in their produce department led to better product quality, lower waste, and higher customer satisfaction. Success requires regular measurement and communication of progress, celebrating early wins while maintaining momentum for long-term transformation. Create visible scorecards that track both leading and lagging indicators and ensure all stakeholders understand how their roles contribute to the larger mission of creating good jobs while building a stronger business. After building the case for good jobs, it's time to execute the system change. The challenge lies in making strategic decisions about where to invest resources, which inefficient practices to eliminate, and how to sequence implementation across the four operational choices and people investments. This transformation requires careful planning and a systematic approach to break the existing cycle of high turnover and poor performance. Successful good jobs transformations begin with triage, attacking the vicious cycle by stabilizing the workforce. This means reducing turnover, understaffing, and low capability through several core steps: raising pay to competitive market rates, improving schedule predictability and flexibility, raising performance expectations with clear metrics, creating transparent career advancement paths, and allocating sufficient time for employees to complete their work properly. For example, QuickTrip's approach includes guaranteed base pay above industry average, consistent scheduling 2 weeks in advance, and clearly defined promotion criteria. The challenge is implementing these changes, especially pay increases and additional labor hours, without breaking the bank. The solution often requires subtraction, examining labor-intensive activities, and removing those that don't truly matter to customers. This simplification makes it possible to raise pay while reducing wasted labor hours, improving customer service, reducing errors, and making employees work better. Companies like Mercadona have succeeded by eliminating unnecessary product variations and focusing on core offerings, which reduced complexity and associated labor costs. Smoothing workload is one of the most effective ways to improve productivity, quality, and schedule stability while increasing full-time employment. Companies can smooth workload through several methods: scheduling non-customer-facing tasks during slow periods, altering customer demand patterns through pricing or promotions, and better matching staffing levels to predictable demand patterns. Zara exemplifies this with its clockwork ordering and delivery cycle. Stores order merchandise twice weekly and receive deliveries within 24 to 40 hours on days when customer traffic is low. Similarly, Walmart has implemented a customer-first scheduling system that uses historical data to predict staffing needs and create more stable schedules. Investing in higher pay as early as possible is crucial for successful implementation of the good job system. Low pay guarantees turnover and all its associated problems, including recruitment costs, training expenses, and lost productivity. When deciding whose pay to invest in first, companies should consider which roles have the highest turnover and which low-paying positions are most critical to company success. For instance, Costco's strategy of paying above market wages, even for entry-level positions, has resulted in turnover rates one-third the industry average and significantly higher productivity per employee. The transformation process requires consistent monitoring and adjustment. Companies should track key metrics such as turnover rates, employee satisfaction, productivity levels, and customer satisfaction scores to ensure the changes are having the desired effect. Regular feedback from employees and customers can help identify areas needing further improvement and validate successful initiatives. When Kath McClay became CEO of Sam's Club in late 2019, the company was already experiencing the benefits of simplification and frontline investment. The virtuous cycle was in motion. Workers with better pay and improved working conditions stayed longer and served customers better. Simplified operations helped reduce prices, driving higher sales that funded further investments in pay and technology. Companies operating with excellence invest significantly in manager development, teaching them to grow both employees and the business. The key is giving managers time by reducing workload variability and unnecessary complexity. Once Sam's Club created these conditions, they implemented a comprehensive training program for team leads covering all operational areas and leadership skills. Workforce stability enables genuine employee empowerment. At Aetna's call centers, CEO Mark Bertolini supported a frontline-initiated program called Service Without Borders that allowed representatives to resolve customer problems across departmental boundaries. Despite executive resistance, fearing reps would give away the farm, Bertolini piloted the program, giving reps authority to grant one-time exemptions and collaborate across departments to solve customer issues in real time. With stability in workforce and simplified processes, companies can build a culture of continuous improvement. At Quest Diagnostics, Marianne Camacho leveraged reduced turnover and higher expectations to standardize call center processes with frontline input. She created model pods through a competitive selection process where supervisors pitched why their team should be chosen. Selected pods implemented quality management tools and 9-minute daily huddles to discuss metrics and improvement ideas. Small, incremental improvements create powerful momentum and organizational confidence, while companies like Four Seasons, Mercadona, and Toyota thrive through daily small improvements, these changes only work in reasonably stable systems. For struggling companies with high turnover and variable workloads, small changes alone are insufficient. Even after implementing all 4 operational choices of the Good Job system, the work isn't complete. Successful companies establish commitment devices that deliberately limit future options. Costco's public 15% maximum markup, targeting 100% internal promotion, Mercadona's explicit stakeholder ranking, and Texas Roadhouse's one-in, one-out menu policy. This book, advocating major corporate behavior changes, is fundamentally about old-school principles of good management, creating real value for customers, prioritizing those who serve customers, meeting employees' basic needs for dignity, designing motivating work, involving workers in improvement, and doing the right thing. These principles were hijacked by short-term financial thinking and rapid growth obsession. When Tan was a doctoral student in the late 1990s, Jack Welch's management practices were revered. His precision in meeting earnings targets, stacked ranking, firing the bottom 10% annually, and focus on deal-making rather than core business. Today's entrepreneurs often face unreasonable growth pressures that harm mental health and operational excellence, but there's an excellent alternative that's worth the investment. Whatever obstacles you face, you'll have tremendous support from your own people. In workshop after workshop, Tan has seen people genuinely upset to learn how they've inadvertently created problems for frontline employees and anxious to become customer and frontline-centric, if only their leaders will allow it. Companies that embarked on the excellence journey achieved significant improvements. Quest Diagnostics call centers saw turnover drop by over 50% in 18 months and absenteeism fall from 12.4% to 4.2%. PayPal's call center turnover decreased from 19.4% to 7.3% in 1 year. Mudbay reduced turnover by 35% in 3 years. Sam's Club decreased hourly turnover by 25% and store manager turnover by 29% within 2 years. Beyond measurable results, these companies gained competitive advantages like adaptability during COVID-19 and differentiation in customers' eyes. As Mudbay's Lars Wolf noted, "The Good Job strategy has made us the sort of organization that is much more likely to be here, healthy, growing, and profitable 10 and 20 years from now."